This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
It is Tuesday, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Oh, talking education, Johnny, it is the week of the 4th. Patriot
Absolutely.
Week. Yeah, it's the week of Patriots. We laid out, you know, really, if you're a defender of public education or a defender of the institution, want to go right into that, Johnny. This is the week to really do it, you know?
Absolutely. We said, what better week? I mean, actually, every week of the year in a country like ours, you ought to be modeling patriotism. Not sometimes the way people like to say, hey, I'm a patriot, but really deep down. And one of the ways we talked about you could do it is be a defender of institutions. Mm. Take your pick, right? Take your pick, whether it's child care, children's rights, health care, you know, economy, whatever these things are, the law. We say, Tim, you and I always come back to we're defenders of public education.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, that's where we're gonna go hard all the time.
Well, when you talk about that, too, it's just like, yeah, what does it mean to patriotism? You made me think about going, you know, so other ways of some people imagining that they're showing patriotism. It made me think so like these colors won't run that I have tattooed on the back of my butt. That's really not a patriotic symbol or something. Is that what you're getting at, Johnny Lupinacci?
Well, no, man. I mean, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the colors of the country. I mean, I'm excited for the Summer Olympics coming up. You know, I love red, white, and blue. You know, I got out. It's summer. It's beautiful. One of the perks of summer, having a little break from teaching, getting out on the golf course today, you know, being able to hang out with some other teachers, shoot a couple of rounds of golf. And I'll tell you what, I had red, white, and blue on. It made it 4th of July week.
Awesome. But I got to tell you, you sent me a note, though. Speaking of that golf, did you make that birdie?
I didn't, Tim. I two-putted it. It ended up being a par. I didn't birdie today, you know.
Well, you weren't.
I had a lot of pars. I had a string of pearls on my card, which is nice to have those zeros straight across. And, you know, I didn't get a birdie today. We'll see. It might happen again this week.
You didn't have the two golf pros that, you know, got in the debate there, the president and the wannabe president again. Maybe if you'd have taken them out there with you, Johnny, you'd have made that birdie. You know what, though, too? Speaking of making that birdie, golfing, having a great time, summer, where do you go?
I was going to say, Tim, I didn't have my birdie juice. And, you know, if you need some birdie juice for your golf game, you can always head over to Minocqua Brewing Company. Tim, why is Minocqua Brewing Company so awesome to us?
Because Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, and they sued the state of Wisconsin to end that awful voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And I was thinking about this too. When you're there at the Minocqua Brewery, you know, whether you're up in Minocqua or at the Madison Tap Room, download the Civic Media app while you're there too, because that way you can always be connected. Most importantly to Busted Pencils, but all the other Civic Media things that are out there, download that Civic Media app, because you do not want to find yourself out there going, I wish I could hear my Civic Media stuff, but I'm out of range of the radio signal. Not when you have the Civic Media app. You are always connected to all of the great programming going on. It's Civic Media. Johnny, again, back to yesterday, though. I mean, callers. The Minneapolis callers that were out there, give us a call back again tonight, man. See what happened. You know, there were a couple people. Sandy, I think, was one from Minneapolis, and I forget who else. 855-752-4842. Call us, because guess what we're doing today again? Oh, my goodness. States' rights, religion, all of these things, Christian nationalism, immunity, it's all going on. It's all related to public education. Johnny, before we go back into the Christian nationalist move, though, a couple words. So the ex-president, the last, whatever you want to say, Trump, the TFG, that guy, the Supreme Court said, the Supreme Court didn't say that guy is immune, but the Supreme Court said, go back because we're not willing to say that he's not immune. I think that's the way I'm interpreting the Supreme Court's decision. We didn't say he's not immune. We sent it back to the lower court to make that decision, and then we'll make a decision as to whether they made the right decision. How do you explain this to a group of school students? Luckily, this isn't happening, but a president, the hypothetical now is that a president can say, the reason I committed that crime is because it was in the line of duty of my job. And at that moment, I thought I was executing my duties. And I'm sorry, it was against the law to take that person out and to order SEAL Team 6 to take out my opponents. But at that time, I thought, this feels like it's my job. So therefore, I did it. And thank goodness, because I needed immunity for that, because now that I look at that, I'm like, whoa, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But thank goodness I had immunity. That's my understanding of the mess we're in, Johnny Lupinacci.
Yeah, Tim, I'm going to be honest. I struggle to understand this one. I don't get how this makes a whole lot of sense, other than big incentive to become the president for someone like Trump, who's got, a lot on the line. I mean, that kind of immunity would help him, I'd say, to put mildly, to put maybe overly politely, it kind of gets him off the hook for, having done bad. There's no reconciliation. There's no facing the truth. There's just, exactly what he told us a few years ago. I can do whatever I want.
Right.
I could shoot somebody and I would be fine. Yep. And now that's that's kind of a reality. I'm not saying that he's done that per se, but I just don't see this as applicable to that scenario. I mean, but on the flip side, I think it's important to maintain that the president probably should be able to, make important decisions as president of the United States. So I don't know. I mean, it's just what are the boundaries on this? And again, how are we at this low moment where we've pushed those boundaries so far outside of the scope and practice of being a president?
Yeah, I think about this back to social studies lessons, and it puts me back in my fifth grade classroom again, talking, about the government, American history, the founding of this country. And one of the main topics that would always come across in my fifth grade classroom was, positioning the founding of this country as an anti-monarchy, this whole idea of not having a king, not having anybody in any place of power that has the ability, though, to quote, kind of use that monarch's edict of, hey, I was in charge, I can do what I want. And thinking about now how this positions me, if I was going back to that fifth grade classroom next year to teach that unit on the founding of America and the fact that we are not a monarchy. Well, I could see students right now saying, well, but, TFG, hopefully they wouldn't say TFG, but TFG, he seems like he's a monarch at this point. Johnny, what do you think?
I think, man, Tim, when we come back from the break, I want to understand what TFG means, because I've looked it up. And I get who we're referring to, he who shall remain nameless. But the three initials, for any listener who's like Johnny here, is like, wait, TFG? That's kind of like when Tim, that's kind of close to Tim's acronym for Fridays. I don't know. It's like.
No, there's way more letters than that.
Where's it come from? I had to look it up, and then I looked it up and I was like, what is this? And then I was like, wait a minute, is this for real? So I'm going to have you, settle that for me, figure out what it is and where's it coming from.
All right, we'll do that for sure. Hey, I'd say callers, though, and, be careful, I will say, if you call in with the answer, we're going to have to be careful. 855-752-4842, Busted Pencils, Immunity, Johnny Lupinacci. And, just again, remind people, though, too, of on tyranny or as Johnny was saying,
right,
on tyranny, 20 lessons from the 20th century, Timothy Snyder. We had just hit on that a little bit too last night. And Johnny, if you can remind everybody about what was going on with the On Tyranny 20 lessons for the from the 20th century.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You want me to do that right now, like on the fly? Put me on the spot.
Oh, yeah. I was
20 lessons. Well, I think it's extremely important. We were talking about coming off the heels, the back end of the debates, and, you know, the onslaught of really depressing news coming from, especially for Democrats. And then there's been a little revival and a little energy and a little sort of clap back after the weekend. But, you know, it's always tough to come off. I wouldn't even say a loss, just a disappointing performance or, you know, run through. And I was thinking a lot about how can we make sense of this moment and what can guide us through this and help us.
Yeah, Busted Pencils. First of all, Johnny Lupinacci, we'll get back to you right there. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. It's Tim and Johnny. We are here Tuesday night. Johnny's in the car doing that thing. You know, like if anybody watched last night, it got a little bit of a lag there. Give us a call, though, 855-752-4842. Immunity decision, the debate that happened, the mess. And, you know, as we're coming into the break here, you know, what else is coming in? Well, Christian nationalism, how does it play in our classrooms? Boy, it is exploding, though, when you look at what's happening in Louisiana, when you look at what's happening in Texas, when you look at what is happening in Oklahoma. Man, so much going on. We started making sense of this last night from the standpoint of going, well, public education is a state issue, and these edicts are coming out of the state governments. Does that then make them constitutional and therefore allow us to move even closer and closer to some form of a Christian state within our public schools? That's the question we're trying to answer here. Is it constitutional to mandate Christian nationalism? 855-752-4842. Got an answer? Give us a call. And hey, TFG, when we come back for Johnny. Wanted to be able to do that with a turntable, do that like that, Jess, you know. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842 is the number. There's our Johnny Lupinacci, man. He's back. We got him back in the saddle. Anybody watching the Facebook, the Twitter, or the X, whatever you want to call it, the YouTube, yes, Johnny, you're like, where's Johnny? He's in his car. That's where he was last Tuesday. And he looks awesome right there. You know, he's got the microphone. He's got the headphones. He's just jamming away. Johnny Lupinacci got a little overheated there, I hear, huh?
Yeah, man. You know what? I got the air conditioning on. You know, I parked the car because, you know, it's summer. Got to take my daughter to the dance studio on Tuesday afternoons. So I'm outside. The dance studio, usually great connect. Of course, I have all my T's crossed, but I forgot to dot an I. Mm. And it's sunny out today. And I set down the phone next to me on the passenger seat. It's direct sunlight. All of a sudden, I'm cut off. And I'm like, what's going on? Oh, my internet's out. How's my internet out? I look over at the phone. There's that temperature logo on there. It says, your phone needs to cool down before you can reconnect. I'm like, of course. So my bad. Back here, you had just, you know, it couldn't have been timed better because you had just thrown me a curveball around like a recap on Timothy Snyder's, you know, 20 important points, lessons from the 20th century. that really help us. And I was saying it helps us respond to and guide us through this really important moment we're in, where we're really facing an erosion of democracy, but more so than an erosion of democracy, it's not like it slipped through our fingers or that people aren't really excited to be in a democracy. It's being, you know, it's being taken. It's being taken over. It's being taken over by authoritarian fascist efforts to really undermine democracy. Remember, the definition I give for democracy all the time is decisions being made by those directly impacted by the decision. And L.A. Tom, one of our listener and callers, he regularly calls and he says, we the people are the government, right? That concept of popular sovereignty, so important, right? What I was saying here is those 20 lessons from Timothy Snyder, I was riffing from them yesterday. I'm going to bring them up all the time, especially this week, because they're really poignant and I think they're helpful. They sort of say, you know that sign you see in England all the time, Tim, when you go over to London and you're riding the public transportation, it says, you know, be calm and carry on. Be calm and carry on. You know what? Timothy Snyder's 20 points are the response of, hey, never too high, never too low. Defenders of democracy, patriots of this great country, let's stand by it. Let's fight for it. And let's not be over-responsive to that takeover. Let's be really, really clear that we are not going to have it. And that means both requiring both Democrats and Republicans do better by this country, right? That's we the people demand that, right? So I like those 20 points. I know we shared them in the podcast. So listener, if you're like, what are these 20 points that Johnny's talking about? You know, 20 lessons from the 20th century by Timothy Snyder. Nice. Right, and he breaks it down, and there's a nice link to, you know, producer Jess got you hooked up, listener, to a really good condensed version of those 20 things. Or you can run out to any of your bookstores and grab it. It's everywhere. Believe it or not, it's not banned, but it's a you not know it should be. Sure it should be. I bet you it's banned to teach if history teachers wanted to teach that. What an important text, because it's what Timothy Snyder does. As he shares examples from the 20th and 21st century that are about, you know, how authoritarian fascist governments come to power, you know, and it's called I think I must be saying this wrong, Tim, because you say it's pronounced differently than I pronounce it, but on tyranny.
There you go. Hey, whatever, right? We know it. Tyranny, it's all of those things. It's a tyrant. You go after the tyrant, but tyrants practice tyranny.
I guess. I think you say it differently, man. I say tyranny, tyrant, tire, tie, all those things. Tie dye.
You know what? I'm sure it's a dialect thing.
I say we have a breaker right there, tiebreaker. Jess, is it tyranny or tyranny? Uh-oh. Putting her on the spot.
It's a tyrant practices tyranny.
Uh-oh.
I mean, all right.
Well, you know, it could be a thing. Hey, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. All right, so the Timothy Snyder. So, Johnny, though, coming back to Christian nationalism, we were framing this as, well, you know, it's just the states exercising their state authority, the constitutional authority they have over public education, to do what they will with their public education in their state. And is this, though, then we kind of framed it yesterday from a simple, is this legal then to impose Christian nationalism on public education through the state constitution? Does that then make the mandating of a certain religion work in the way that it is, you know, does it start to indoctrinate? Is it a problem? Or are they trying to use democracy here to actually then infringe on and stifle democracy?
I mean, it's not really using, it's, you know, it's part of democracy. I tell you this all the time, Tim. I like when these conversations come up, like, hey, you know, I got an idea. As a member in a democracy, everyone has a voice and every voice is valued. Everyone has a responsibility to participating in the decision-making process. That's the second key like ingredient or say condition of, you know, recognizing decision-making as democratic. The third is it's in the interest of the common good. So a lot of times we hit one and two and mm-hmm. the third sort of regulates us a bit. And I know that's the term that free market liberals and liberals in general don't like is regulation, but you know, regulation is actually the balancing fact. And it's this idea of that, yeah, you have a right to say, hey, I think that all schools should teach, you know, lessons from the Bible. It's like, well, that we're going to listen to that, but hold on, because, you know, we get to that third part, the interest of the common good. And we actually live in a democracy and we've really committed to that means valuing diversity. And that one belief system, right, is not going to work. In fact, we actually have also instituted in this country as part of a democracy, a separation of church and state. That doesn't mean, and I get into this a little bit more gray area than I think you do, Tim, because I actually don't think it's possible to actually separate church and state, but I get that why we have it on the books is that because we don't want a nation run by any particular religion.
We don't want, right? A theocracy.
Right. I get that. But I think a lot of times it gets interpreted or practiced as we want no religion in these spaces. And I don't think that's what any of us have talked about on here.
So I
get into that idea where I say like, hey, it's great. You would like, you're voicing, you're using your democratic right, your liberty
to
say, hey, I think it's really important that schools teach this. Great. We're listening. In general, though, we have that third principle of democracy that in the interest of the common good. And guess what? A single story has never turned out to be very good for anybody. In fact, diversity is a condition of difference, which everything exists. And it's also really important for us to get that diversity piece in there.
Oh, man, how many walls, how many guns, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators, talking education. Yeah, that quick break there. Sorry about that, everybody. Got a little bit, you know, mixed up in the timing there, but all is well. Tim and Johnny are back. Jess has got the command center there working very, very, very perfectly.
Well,
Jess.
Tim. Tim, you know, I'm like a bull in a china shop. So I got going, you know, and I was rambling. And you know what happens? I rambled right into the break. So sorry about that, listener. We'll smooth it out for you. We owe you, but we'll get it back around. But Tim, where we were going, man, was we were going into this thing. You were talking more about what's happening in these states. Where there's a rise in Christian nationalism, you know, there's a concerted effort to push that there ought to be one belief system in schools. And you know, we're both adamantly against this. I'm probably a little bit more gray area and saying like, yeah, there's a lot of belief systems. I would love it if kids learned world religions or, you know, came together. We heard on the Friday show, I went on a long rant that was about human rights, right? And children's rights. And the right to belief systems and diverse belief systems in school. I think that's a beautiful thing. I'm not even against teachers or schools saying, hey, there's these things that Christians have, 10 commandments. They follow them. It's part of their belief system. There are other rules and laws and life lessons that help guide community of people around the world. Here's a few different ones. Let's learn. Let's have our own classroom, you know, constitutions and principles that we live by. So I really like those things as part of a diverse education, but boy, do I get really, really concerned when we start talking about forcibly having one way and positioning that as the one best way or the correct way or the right way for all children. I think that's a huge problem. And that's what's happening in some states in this country, Tim. So get us back to that, man. Boy, did I threw you a curveball, man. I stunned you. I threw you a stunner. I don't know. So Tim is frozen. This is listener, we owe you because Tim, I threw him a stunner and it froze him up. And I think I'm still here with Jess live. But Tim, what we were talking about is we were going hard on, you know, these states and their concerted effort to push one best way. So, Tim, I'm going to throw it back to you and hopefully not stun you this time.
You didn't stun me. I stunned myself on that one. Man, it's a, I guess tonight's just a little bit of a, you know, glitchy night. I hit my mute
button. Number one stunner.
I hit my mute button.
Tim's the number one stunner.
But, hey, so, you know, very specifically, though, the state mandate here on this Christian nationalism is what really is pushing me to go, whoa, wait a minute. Because if we remember, in Oklahoma, you got the Department of Public Instruction superintendent saying Bibles everywhere. In Louisiana, Ten Commandments. In Texas, Texas is literally paying school districts $60 a kid if they adopt the Christian-oriented curriculum in place there. So you've got three different states, and they're using, Johnny, the state right of having education be, you know, the state's constitution. But see, to me, it's what they're doing, exactly what you're saying, though. It's a religion. It's a specific religion, Christian nationalism. And if you start looking at it, too, this isn't about teaching a diversity of religious beliefs, of which you and I have constantly said we are absolutely in favor of. In fact, religion is probably one of the most interesting topics that you can get into in schools, and more students and more families would benefit from having lots of religious pluralistic understandings and ways to make sense of this. But here we have the state using the state power to absolutely prioritize a religion, a Christian religion, a form of a Christian religion that really is starting to sound more and more, not even sound, it looks like Christian nationalism. And Johnny, that is a creep that is, when I say creep, creeping towards us, that is now no longer creeping. It's actually making its way pretty fast and forward to us and saying, hey, Christian nationalism, it's what we want. It's what we want in public schools. And in fact, just to put a little bit more, the story today went a little bit further. In Louisiana, the governor that pushed this said, hey, I did this so that they would sue me, because he wants to be sued by those people that are saying this is an infringement of the establishment clause that says you cannot have a state indoctrinating or mandating a religion. He says, hey, bring it on. Bring it on. I don't know, man. I don't think
You sent me a text today that was an article, and I want our listeners to know we're referencing a lot here. We're bringing in trending topics in education. Our producer, Jess, is hot on it. Those links, all the things Tim and I are mentioning, they're going to be in the podcast notes. So, you know, you loop back around later, give a re-listen, and grab those, or just grab the links and you can get that. But Tim sent me a text today, and you know what?
Oh, there it is, Johnny. We got to wait on that text, though, because, man, when you hear that bell, you know what that is. It's our time. Democracy in action, trending news. We can hit it, Johnny. I saw today probably one of the most awesome examples of democracy in action. Guess what? There are Republicans in some states that have decided to go against the voucher push. Tennessee and Texas rural Republicans have thwarted the push to to mandate vouchers be a part of their state, and they've said, "Wait a minute, we can't do that. We are defending the institution of public education." And we are not voting in favor of vouchers. And they stopped vouchers in Tennessee. They stopped vouchers in Texas. And Johnny, this truly is democracy in action, because the consequences that these legislators are now facing, all of them are being primaried by strong right-wing DeVos billionaires that have said, hey, you voted for democracy. You voted for the people. You voted for the public schools. We're taking you out. Truly an example of democracy in action to me, Johnny Lupinacci.
Yeah, I love it, Tim. I love it when anytime any elected official, remember, you're elected in theory, you're elected by the majority to represent the interests of whatever that group or location is, right? And so, you know, those people, whether it's party line or not, right? Those folks who went against the grain of the party line right now, I think that always, Tim, is democracy in action. When you're representing, decisions ought to be made by those directly impacted by the decision. And those people in the Republican Party that said no. And Tim, when I was, you know, out sometime around the 12th hole today, I was reading that text you sent me that. I said, you know, good. This ought to be how it is, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless of your party, when the decision comes across your table, you say to yourself, how does this impact, right? Who benefits and who suffers? Are the people, you know, in under my jurisdiction or my, you know, region that I'm elected to represent, are they hurt by this? They mm-hmm. are. I can't support it. So I, you know, as much as I cringe, because, you know, I'm not too happy with the Democrats right now, but I'm rarely happy with, rarely am I aligned with Republicans. And man, I was like, you know what, this is good. And the image in my head, Tim, I got to share it. You know, I'm always like the Republicans, the elephants and the donkeys, the Democrats. I love the animal imagery of this. But I pictured, you know, an elephant going over, you know, I pictured, you know, the Louisiana guy saying, I do want this. I want you to challenge me. And the elephant went over and with its trunk pulled up a whole trunk full of water and just hosed that dude down. Just hosed him down. Says, not today.
Not in my
legislative area. No way, sir. Sit back down and walk away wet on this one.
Well, and that's what he say. You know, it is democracy. Defenders of democracy, Johnny Lupinacci, you put that out there, defending the institution of public education and doing their job, which is to represent their people, not the party. So it's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number is 855-752-4842. You can give us a call. L.A. Tom reminding us on the text, too. It's anti-Christian nationalism, L.A. Tom reminding us there. Yes, absolutely. But, Johnny, you know, so these Republicans in these rural districts then have provided a role model for me for other Republicans in other rural districts. And, you know, just to give a little quick lesson of going, like, why are the Republicans in rural areas putting up resistance to vouchers? Well, it's very simple. There aren't choice options in the rural districts, and people know that in the rural areas, the public schools are the centers of their communities, are the center of engagement. Everything rallies around that. And so to vote in favor of vouchers would be actually sending money that goes to supporting their local public schools out of their districts that actually harms their local public schools. People have listened to me, have heard me say this all the time. And in fact, it decimates, potentially takes out Friday night football, the prom, the marching band, all of those events that people have come and have gotten used to and, in fact, value in their community. That's because of their public schools. And so in those rural areas, voting in favor of public schools is voting in favor of your constituents. And, man, that's just what you're supposed to do when you're elected to office, is represent the people who elected you, not represent the party and the money that's trying to influence. And as you said, Johnny, do harm to your constituents. How is it possible? Well, and it said, though, it is coming with consequences, because it looks like every one of these Republican legislators are now going to be primaried with supporters that are actually then going to then gather around all of that big dark money, DeVos money coming in to put together candidates. So, but at least for now. So think about that. It's an example defending that institution of public education. That's what they're. But Johnny, question here, though, too. In these districts where you are a public school value in a small rural district, we have seen in places like Wisconsin, a lot of the Wisconsin rural areas, have voted in favor of vouchers. How do the people respond in those small rural districts who see the attack on public education? Is it to simply just say, do your civic duty and call your legislator? I mean, how do we help mobilize voters? Because to me, you're not a Republican, you're not a Democrat, you're a voter, you're a citizen, you're a community member. And they're thinking right now, hey, Friday night football in the fall, I'm looking forward to it. I don't want to lose it. How do we inspire them?
Well, Tim, I think it's simple. And as simple as it is, it's also a large task. And what we're asking, and we should be able to trust more media, but what we have to be able to do is we have to be able to find good information. We have to go out there. Individuals have to go out and say, what are my interests? It's the local economy. It's like you're saying, Friday night football, it's our public schools. It might be something else that's a state institution that's local economy. It might be, a government. It might be a military base in a rural town. That's mm-hmm. a big one. I know in other states, and these things that are publicly funded, that it hurts the economy when they're defunded or they're privatized, right? It drives wages down. It really hurts the working people. So it's getting good information. It's gathering that good information. And it's saying, what are my priorities? What are my institutions that I'm going to be a patriot and be a defender of? And if you're a defender of public education, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you got to find the facts. You know, Tim, I'm biased. We have those facts here mm-hmm. at Busted Pencils. You know, I'm lucky to be able to listen to civic media to get good information about the facts that concern my local community so that I can make an informed decision. And that's a really important one. Hey, Tim, we got one more segment when we come back. Callers, if you want to give us a call, 855-752-4842. Busted Pencils when we get back.
There you go. See me air drumming there. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. 855-752-4842 if you want to join the educated educators talking education. Yeah, man, immunity, Christian nationalism, democracy in action, everything there coming out. L.A. Tom making sure to remind us that it's anti-Christian nationalism to be more accurate, not very Christian in the Christian nationalism that is being pushed by these states. It's Oklahoma pushing Bibles, very much reminiscent of that time where Trump stood out in front of the church with the Bible. And he also is selling, if you saw his endorsed Bibles. So taking a look there. And Texas coming up with and going, hey, we're going to pay school districts. We're going to incentivize with cash the adoption of Christian curriculum. And of course, in Louisiana, the Ten Commandments, 11 by 17 inch poster will be up in every classroom right now. And yeah, the governor down there saying, bring it on. I want to be sued. And Johnny, the suit here, though, too, that to me, this really breaks down what we talk about here. People say there's no wording for the separation of church and state in the Constitution. There's no such thing. You're right. There is no language that says the church and the state are separated. There's the Establishment Clause and the interpretation, the precedent, the history of that clause is that no, but in practice, the First Amendment guarantees a separation of church and state because the religion, you cannot be, you know, again, you get to have the religion you want in this country. You have the liberty in America to practice a religion that might not be the popular religion at the time. That's okay because it doesn't matter. You're a citizen. You are not connected to, and you say, we are not a theocracy here. We don't have a state-mandated religion. We say You got your religion? Bring it. That's great. You got no religion? That's great, too. You got somewhere in between? That's great, too. Because as a diverse, pluralistic community, we value and cherish all of these religious beliefs. And if the state mandated any one of them, that would be, as you point out, Johnny, an attack on the diversity, the very diversity that is absolutely required for us to thrive. And so I just wanted to do a little bit more of an explanation there, John.
Well, yeah, Tim, and I challenge any educator that is being forced to put an 11x17 10 commandments in their classroom to also put up a poster that's universal human rights, the Declaration of Universal Human Rights, specifically the Convention on the Rights of the Child. You can download free PDFs of those posters, online. There are a number of them. They're children's rights. If you just Google children's rights, in fact, we'll find one and we'll put it in our liner notes for you. But, I challenge you to put those up. I also have worked with teachers who said, hey, you know what? I actually think these are, 10 pretty good things. Mm-hmm. I don't want to call them the 10 commandments, but, I want to have some inspiration in my classroom. And I always say, hey, check out these children's rights. There are a few more of them. But even if you picked 10 of those and you put them in there, they don't go against. And this is coming back to L.A. Tom's point about it being not quite Christianity. It's a certain kind of use of religion, and specifically Christianity, to assert and to really voice a particular way of organizing in our community that is white supremacist and patriarchal. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just saying, like, it is really the usurping of a religion to assert a kind of way of power maintained to male-centered decision-making and power and to particular heteronormative. And you know what, Tim? This is what really excites me, is young people aren't having it.
No.
Young people in mass are, this is why we're having these kinds of, having to discuss this, is because people who are really threatened by the massive amount of young people in this country and in this world who are saying, we really think we could do better and that there is a different way we can all, like you said, coexist, and share space. So I challenge you to put up, children's rights instead. You know what, Tim, though? Here we go. It's a banger of a Tuesday. Tomorrow we have Educators Amplified. I can't wait to hear what, teacher Joanna has to say, because she always drops so much wisdom. We've talked about so much on here. Can't wait to hear from her. And Tim, you know what? If you're in Madison or if you're up north in Wisconsin listening, you can head over to Minocqua. You go to Minocqua Brewing Company, right? Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company. And you were talking a lot about lawsuits. I mean, Minocqua Brewing Company is sued. They sued the state of Wisconsin to end its voucher system. And why? Because voucher systems hurt public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check them out, Minocqua.com, to see where you can buy their progressive beer.
Mm-hmm. And there you saw, and people watching on the X, on the Twitter, on the Facebook, you saw my shirt there that I got from Minocqua Brewing Company. So if you're like me and you're not a beer drinker or a wine drinker, hey, they've got great merchandise too. Busted Pencils, it is fully leaded. It is, we are. Educated educators talking education on a Tuesday night. Yeah, moving into Wednesday, the 4th, 2 days away, making sure everybody there, kind of ramping it up though. So if you're noticing a theme that we're doing here more and more throughout this week here is that, yeah, we are truly trying to say, you want to be a patriot, you want to celebrate liberty, you want to celebrate freedom, pick your institution, defend that institution. What we do here every night of the week on Busted Pencils, we are the defenders of that institution called public education, because we see it as the bedrock, not even see it, we know it is the bedrock of our democracy in this country. And so therefore defending that institution is something that is absolutely essential. And yeah, and guess what? We found out tonight, you can be a Republican and defend the institution of public education, and that will get you the award for Tim and Johnny's Democracy in Action Spotlight. Maybe we put that out there right now, going like, hey, I want to get Tim and Johnny's Busted Pencils Democracy in Action Spotlight. Hey, do what's right. Defend public institution, public education, that institution. Johnny Lupinacci. Tomorrow night, Educators Amplified. Busted Pencils back. Teacher Joanna, see y'all tomorrow.